Hello, everyone, and welcome to the commentary for Genesis Avalon Patriot, episode 19. I am the host of today's festivities, Kat Pride. I am the director and co-writer and co-creator, and along with me is Chris Bays, also my co-stoofer.
The
co-stoofer in chief.
I have a very large cold brew. Let's see how much of this I get through.
Yeah, we'll see. So, and we start with you immediately. Just boom, Merlin, right into it. So, for those of you who may have, you know, it's been a couple months, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed Convention, the hiatus minisode.
I enjoyed writing it.
Yeah, I know you did. You had a lot of fun with it. Here we are in the UK. We are back in the UK. We've been waiting for everybody to come back. And we sort of left everything on a bit of a cliffhanger. You know, we sort of shot Tim and then went, well, I guess I'll see you guys in a few months. Sorry. So now we get to find out what actually happens. And, of course, the team does not really know what's going on just yet. They're just, they're like, you know, in the middle of London. So real talk, are you glad or sad that you get to go out of doing the weird tenses?
Okay, so I'm sad because it was very interesting, but good lord, it's hard to read. And I'm already, like, I already have such a hard time reading.
Yeah. That is true.
I think 90% of my bloopers are me swearing because I can't, and saying, oh, fuck me, I can't read.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I have so many bloopers that are going to be in the blooper reel that are just you being like, fuck me, I can't read. There are a couple ones where you're like, and that's just Scottish. I've just gone full Scottish. So. It is nice, though. Everybody's back in the land of the mortals. And poor Natalie swoons like a princess in a castle every time the lady unpossesses her, poor thing. I got backwards in the dark. Six drinks in. Yes.
The back of the roller coaster going backwards. Wouldn't that be the front of the roller coaster?
If you're in the back of the roller coaster going backwards. I mean, yeah, but then you're facing the wrong way. But you're six drinks in. That's the worst part.
Yeah.
You and I have ridden the freeze backwards once. Never again. I will never do that again. So, anyway, that's not enough of that. But yeah, no, this is like the first time the whole, like, since episode one that most of these characters have been together in the same room.
Yeah. 15 missed
calls. And oh yeah, time works differently. Y'all were gone for a while. I do love the way Sarah reads that. She's like, y'all were gone for a while. Like, it's super fun just getting to put bunches of text tones underneath everything. Like, thank you for Apple for just, like, having really easy to fully effects.
Effects, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily recognizable.
No, yes. That's not who. This says he's been shot. Yeah. We did that. And then Mac just goes full awesome here. Like, he's always awesome. And Adam has so,
like,
much fun,
like,
playing him.
All right. It's time to not fuck around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, casting sea portals over land is not fun.
It's a little messy.
It's a little messy. I did have fun getting to come up with, like, the sound bases for all of his stuff, because, like, it's a lot of, like, yeah, there's, like, a water spell, but then there's just, like, waterfall and, like lots of, like, really, like, water that's kind of scary. And I'm like, I like the idea of him just being, like, the power of water. That's pretty cool. And then he fucks off. But that's okay, because if you've listened to the episode, bless you. If you've listened to the episode, you know he's about to go do some really cool shit later.
Yes, he is.
He's gone for a reason.
He's gone to get to the bottom of this.
Yes. Oh, there's Bane randomly. I feel like I am the director cameo of every movie. It's like, I feel like I'm Jimmy Buffett in front of the Margaritaville in Jurassic World with my two margaritas. Like, it's that level of cameo. Spot the cat.
But you're the random M. Night cameo.
Yeah. But I'm like the early M. Night movies where it's very, very small cameo.
Very small. unobtrusive.
Yeah.
You're the random...
Yeah, also MCR Garcia here pitching as another British character, but not her normal British character. And she gave so many fun reads of this. And I wound up going with the dopey one that's just like, I'm totally not plussed by any of this. It was really cute. And then there's David Ault there getting to play a kind of a fun rando role, which I love doing. Go, 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 go. I had a lot of fun with the music in this one. I got to use a lot of pieces that I've been kind of hanging on to. And
I like this piece. This is like very good, like, ooh,
well, and it was, yeah, no joke, the vibe I was going for, oh, that's sad. My lander just fell and broke into like a bajillion pieces over there. So my Lego lander is now behind your sensors. So we'll get it later. Okay. But yeah, basically the vibe I was going for with this scene and the other one was like those, the way that BBC crime shows are scored.
Oh yeah. It's
and
very,
it's
very,
very
BBC
much like
show.
Very BBC crime show, like very much like The Tower. You stubborn ass. Yeah, get her, Cooper. I'm so glad that we got to bring Cooper back. I say that every single time Aiden just opens his mouth and a line comes out. I'm just like, yay, Cooper! But he's getting wise.
Hey, I'll take care of my husband.
Yeah.
You back the hell off.
The thing I've been waiting for her to say
the whole show. It's been a good thing for Maeve that Merlin's not been around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good read from you. Oh my god. Chills.
Hey, we're not done here. I'll leave you lot alone for a few days. You get him shot.
That's how it feels. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's just like bleeding out and totally fine at the same time.
He's still bleeding.
Yes. Yes, he is. This is all very important lore. It's why I'm quiet.
Yes. An important like moment.
And like I can't talk about it because a lot of the reveals that come from this are episode 21, our next UK episode. So I don't want to go too far in depth, but this is definitely like everything you just heard is very important, and the team is very much nice. Everyone is getting to the bottom of things. Now, I will give a little bit of hint for those of you who are paying attention and might be eagle-eyed fans of Celtic mythology. The translation of what Merlin said was,
go
sober up.
Go sober up.
Yep.
Tim, hang on for me.
Also, this is a fun bit of... So, for anyone who may have not listened to the original Genesis Avalon, or you're still working your way through it, or it's just been a long time, one of the things about Olivia's role in all of this is that when she started on the show and her role sort of getting involved with Celtic mythology was she was cursed by demons, similar to Noir, but a little different, and taken in by Caradwyn.
Yes.
Caradwyn and Rosmerida, but we never really got into that. But she was basically attacked by goddesses to reclaim artifacts that should not be in the hands of mortals.
Yep.
And as a result, she was basically a werewoman. She could turn into a wolf at night, or whenever she needed to, and could fight. But in meeting Tim and falling in love with him, she had a choice to make. Either follow where Avalon's going, or continue in the path she's already on.
Yeah.
And she chose to let go of the path she was already on and follow Tim. And in doing that, she gave up her immortality. She gave up that ability to transform. She gave up a lot of her magical sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't seem like a huge deal here because we haven't really talked about it, but this is big. This is kind of the moment where you realize Olivia has done exactly what she needed to do for the gods by being with her husband and teaching him to be a better man and being a good, solid partner and keeping him even when he wasn't.
Yeah.
And that there is still magic within her. Her magic is that, like she said, I take the punches meant for you. Which is what she said to him when she first gave up her powers in the fight against Morgan Le Fay.
Yeah.
So essentially, she is still magical, and she has the ability, I believe we actually said in the SFX, like, through the power of love,
yes.
She's able to break through to Tim, and in this case, she heals him, and he just pops up like a daisy and scares the crap out of the press and the crowd, and it's great. I love it.
And then goes right back to giving his speech.
Yes.
Like nothing happened.
Yes. Peace. Not obedience, not silence. And I so love this speech. I think we workshopped it like 4 or 5 times. Because we knew what we wanted to say, but we wanted to make sure we got it right.
Yes.
And Chris Stoddard does just an absolute phenomenal job delivering every second of it. No matter the cost, I must stand here and tell you that peace is the only way forward. Yeah, boy. Parliament and the United Nations have the power to help the American people. Again, this feels government. Like I'm just staring really hard at Putin.
The speech he meant to give at the UN.
Yeah, before he suddenly went weirdly warmongery.
Yeah.
And you could tell, because you could tell that this is Tim. This is the man that if you had watched, if you'd listened to Just Avalon, especially the last, like, you know, season that was all about them finding Tim, this is always who he's been. He's always been a very peaceful man. He didn't want to take Excalibur because he doesn't want to be associated with war.
Yeah.
And I just really love that we finally have this moment where this is the strength of him. This is why he's Arthur, is because he's a lawyer. He's, you know, he is a son of an actual house.
Yes.
And really does understand what he's doing. Ah, I loved this scene. I loved writing this scene, and I loved directing this scene, and Shin Luxford and Alicia have excellent chemistry together. And it was really nice to have... Oh, that's right, I forgot that happens first.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hackney, as per usual. Just giving. You're just giving, and I love it. Such a great little scene with them. Yeah, they went through it this season.
They really did.
Like, it's wild to think. They were inseparable the whole first show. They were always together once Alicia knew, or once Natalie knew his secret. And this was the first time they'd ever been apart. We had them apart for 18 episodes.
18 episodes, yeah.
And then they're making out, like, in front of Roxy.
Full makeout.
Tim was shot. Yeah, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but Tim was shot. Priorities. Like, hello. Really? In front of my salad.
In front of my salad, indeed.
Yeah. And then all I got was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Glad to see that you are.
Dude. Nope. Glad to see me.
You will take me to Galahad. You will take me to Galahad. That you're welcome to, like, everybody who remembers the crisps
I just
joke.
Want that the crisps and chips joke. Me.
Yes. That man would never have managed to live being a cat for much longer in a world where crisps and chips existed.
Yeah.
En masse, with delicious flavors like prong cocktail. I know. Now I want some Walkers. But I really loved... Sean's really, like, stepped in and given Roxy some different elements to her performance, and I really love it. And one thing I always love about you know, it speaks to how great our cast is.
Yes.
But it does not feel like Sean wasn't the actress who started playing Roxy.
Yes.
And it doesn't feel like this is the woman who has not met Galahad before, has not met Gabe. Like, this feels so raw and so good when she realizes that, you know, that Gabe's in that hospital bed, and that's her little brother, you know? And we had kind of established at the end of Avalon that the whole dynamic between them is they're kind of like they're like the Trinity, you know? There's Leo, Gabe, and Roxy. They are, because that was Tim. Tim was the third part of that Trinity for a long time.
But he can't be anymore.
But he can't be anymore. And so Roxy steps right in to kind of be like the responsible one. And by responsible one, I mean, like, she's the one who, if she throws a punch, well, then the other two know they're allowed to now.
Yes.
Until that happens, it's irresponsible if either of them throw a punch.
They're the shoulder, you know. Gabe and Leo are shoulder angels. One of them is the good angel, one of them is the bad angel.
Ain't that the truth?
And whoever is the third person needs to be the person who takes the advice of the shoulder angels and then makes action happen.
Yes, for sure. She manifested while we were trapped there, and then her brother showed up to help. Alicia's patron. Oh yeah, and that's actually coming out now. Yeah. That's right. I actually forgot that was in the scene. Yep. I thought that was in the next episode. Yeah. The thing that, like, Alicia and Olivia have known and then not told anybody else yeah. because of just circumstance. But, I love that one of the beats we gave Noir is just that he is so smart. And the next episode with them in it, you will all understand what it is he's always known. That's what I think is really yeah. cool about the next episode, well, is that he does, Cooper's been right the whole time. He does know what's going on. He just doesn't quite know what it is or why it is he knows anything.
Yeah.
And the next episode, episode 21 will solve a lot of those mysteries as we get into the last four episodes. Where's Leo is with Jaina and Sam, still in the States. Yes. As I said, because Leo's great like that.
Yes, he is. We are seeing unfold. He's massive.
We just... Yeah, yeah. Poor Roxy and Nat went to the other world before Tim tried to declare war
yep.
on the U.S., before they knew Exodus was safe.
Yep.
And so when you look back at the last, like, seven episodes, you're like, oh God, missed a lot.
They missed a lot of stuff.
This was so much fun to do. The sound effects requests I had for this sequence had Tilly going, hey, you can't just not be creepy, can you? And I was like, nope, can't. Gotta love it. I think I can help him. Gotta be creepy. Gotta be creepy because Nox is the knight. She is all of the...
She belonged to the...
Yes, exactly that. I'll admit, this was a selfish choice as a writer. I did not want to have to write another transformation sequence.
I just think of the Sam Raish. I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, that sound effect right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that read is what got Sean cast.
Yep.
Because that was one of the things that we had in the casting call for Nox, and she just nailed every take of that. And I was like, I got goosebumps again.
Yep.
Dang it. I've listened to this many times, Sean. This is ridiculous. You do this every time.
She has literal goosebumps.
Every time. I love being my favorite hype person for my cast. I'm not going to lie. Please note, folks, whenever you're on one of my shows, no one is a bigger fan of you than me.
For sure.
Like, that's the rate. I'm just so lucky that you're all on my show.
She will be mixing and so frequently go, my cast is the best cast.
It's true.
And I'll be like, oh, really? Did they do something good? She's like, they're just all so good.
There's a lot of times that Paul Brueggemann or Pete on the US side will say some ad lib or do something that she'll suddenly hear me just go, oh my God, I can't use that, but that's so good.
Yes.
It's normally because someone's dropped a word they're not allowed to put in the show. I mean, we get one or two, but like, you gotta be really, really, yeah, we self-identify as PG-13, so we try to keep to, would Marvel do it?
Yeah.
That's really our benchmark. Would Marvel do it? If Marvel would do it, or DC would do it in a PG-13 film, if it would pass the MPAA, then we'll probably do it. But
less would DC do it, mostly because we want to write quality.
Oh, throwing down. But you know what? You're an OG DC fan,
so
you're allowed to say that.
I'm allowed to say that.
I'm the Marvel kid, so. But you can tell there's all the magic shit in here, and I loved all the magic shit of Marvel, so. I do love that when you and I talked about what we wanted to do with Rox, we knew that, you know, her narrative could have ended with, and oh yeah, I'm Sir Tristan,
yeah.
And yes, I was banished, and now I'm back, and everything's great. But I love that we did build this whole narrative of, there is a level of like, unintentional othering of culturally, she's from Avalon, sure.
Yeah.
But her faith is pulling her in a different direction. Which was definitely something personal that we kind of wanted to play with a little bit, but not too heavily. But you could definitely say that there's a bit of a journey that Roxy's going through that isn't really the focus of the show, but we wanted to at least pay it some due.
Yep.
That she still has a long way to go on her own journey. Because, you know, ultimately the show is still about Jaina and Sam and really, but you know, Jaina, she's the main character. But you know what I mean?
Not in luck. Was it sure you'd made it back? After Jack and I bailed from the cops, we figured we'd just hang in our rooms.
I like that. Alicia was like, well, that was very exciting. I'm going to sit and read a book quietly.
Yep. Heard them come in a few minutes ago. Well, that's fine. We're tired. Decisions were made.
We'll lay down. Rest up a bit. Roxanne was able to wake Gabe up in the hospital, but until he's back...
I do love the scene with the two of you.
It's a very cute scene.
And I know Jack shows up to give some much needed levity, but it's a very important scene.
Yeah.
Like if you've been paying attention to the chemistry and the way that Mac and Alicia have played off of each other, the scene is Merlin cutting right to it.
Yeah.
Just getting right past all the bullshit like usual.
I always like the way you talk. I might miss it, actually. It's sort of what makes you the
The Wunkle.
The Wunkle.
Shoot, you get to tell the story. Because okay. This is your story.
This is, I am the Wunkle. I am the weird uncle.
In all things. Always.
So, Kat's niece.
Yes.
Calls me Uncle Chris.
Yes.
And I am the weird uncle.
Which was funny because we told her she could do that when she was here visiting.
Yeah.
But her dad did not know that because we had not actually had a chance to talk to my brother-in-law yet. And he tried to correct her and was like, that's rude, you don't say that. And my sister looked at him and went, it's fine.
Can.
She's allowed to. It's Uncle Chris. That's what Chris said she wanted to be called.
And that's how I see it.
And it started all the way back with your first nibbling.
With my first nibbling. When my nephew, Jasper, was born, nobody told me. I was living in another state at the time.
It was pretty funny.
And everybody else in the family thought that the other persons had told me. And so I'm chatting with my mom like two weeks before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was like a month out or
And she
like
was
that.
Like, the baby was, Jasper was due at the end of December. And this is like a month before Jasper's due. And my mom's like, yeah, I just don't know how your grandpa's going to take your sister-in-law. And I'm like, well, why? Because she's got tattoos. And my mom goes, no, because you're going to be an aunt, not an uncle, on account of it being a girl, which is hilarious in hindsight. Not a girl. And also not an aunt for me.
That was pretty funny.
But
that was how you found out. It was like nobody had realized that they hadn't told you.
Yeah, nobody told me, except for... If the child is a girl, then you're an aunt. If the child is a boy, then you're an uncle.
So we just went ahead and held on to that.
We
which did. I love. But that's us giving you permission in your lives. If you would like to be the Wunkle, be the Wunkle.
Be the Wunkle.
Embrace being the Wunkle.
Embrace the weird uncleness. It's great.
Me because he wants a steady guidance in the time of this King Arthur. That Jaina is a war Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
That
Jaina is definitely a war Avalon, that's for sure.
And I'm just me, Alicia.
Okay, you're not just you. That's so adorable.
A leader. A spiritual leader, I guess. Oh, which sounds super culty. I'm so grossed out that I said that.
I like that you can practically hear Alicia fall into the couch when she says it. And that's all Sarah. The way Sarah delivered the line, I think she just happened to like move her mouth away from the mic the right way. And I was like, this is perfect.
No, God,
sometimes that works.
I love it.
Please don't do that. I know you're being kind of silly, but wait, Jaina talks about having the Morrigan as a patient.
When we were workshopping the scene originally, you made the crack about making a hat like the Pope.
Yes.
And you were like, no, we can't leave that in. I went and purposely wrote it back in so that we could have that line. Because I think it's
hilarious. You thought it was funny.
You know I know where you sleep.
You know I know where you sleep, right? You're going out the window. Just yeet. Good on Jack for seeing it like it is.
Yep.
Jack's like, that jerk made me seasick for hours before he told me he had ginger that would make me not seasick. Absolutely, I'm gonna call this out.
Oh my god, okay. There was such a long fucking discussion. Trying to figure out what you call.
Yes. And then on top of that, you had ad libs that were even more of them.
Yes.
Like, because we had talked through it a lot before we landed on what the word would be. But then, like, in your ad libs, you just kept going.
Yep. I'm the one who has to do all the hard work in the
underworld. Wait a minute. I also love having Jack in a scene with Alicia or Merlin because I actually get to use the comedy music. I never get to use anything light and fun in this show otherwise. Because, you know, it's such a serious show, but it's so nice to be able to use, like, the fun guitar music or the fun, like, friends hanging out music.
Yeah.
Thank you for paying attention, Alicia. That's important. I do love it when the gods reiterate that gender's a bloody concept. This is all assuming I have a patron. I don't even know. And that's like a personal peeve of mine is a lot of folks who get into paganism very early on use it to enforce gender binary. Don't do that, folks. I'm just going to be honest. Don't do that. Because there is not a single polytheistic religion that doesn't have some example of non-binary deities or aspects that you associate that might seem like they're one are represented in another. And that includes the Celt.
Yep.
There are a lot of gods and goddesses that represent the same thing. And I try really hard to point that out by having Jaina and Sam frequently call on gods that invoke similar power sets.
Yep.
Because they are both aspects of the same thing.
I'm only gonna be alive for another 20 years.
I felt that in my bones.
There's a problem. 30.
Oh, bless you, sweet child. Okay,
boomer. I made that. We made that joke on the script. Exactly what we need. And my younger sister, who's firmly Gen Z, loved that joke. And I had literally seen a Gen Z, Gen Alpha joke that was just like that. And then I sent this to Tilly.
Yeah.
And Tilly was like, that seems weird. I don't get it. And I was like, oh no, it's a Gen Z joke. It's like officially like, yes, I don't know if anybody notices, but there's a longstanding joke right now that millennials look younger than Gen Zers. The guy who does the secret fast food society stuff, like Jordan the Stallion.
Yes,
he does a lot of those jokes about how he looks like he's an uncle or a dad.
He looks like
he met The Rock, and The Rock was like, "Well, we got to stick together, right?" Age. And he's like, "Oh, sir, how old do you think I am?" Yes, it is. By the way, do you know how hard it is to find UK-sourced phones and ringtones?
You know, that's kind of actually crazy that it would be because radio drama is way more popular.
I know. I think it just depends on how we source our effects. We're sourcing a lot of stuff from a giant, like, repository.
Yeah.
That is, and I have a feeling it's one of those things that if you're in the BBC and you're doing radio drama for the BBC, you probably have a lot of artists that you can work with directly.
Yeah. Exactly what that was before I
freak out. You're already freaking out, Alicia. That's for sure. So, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to find out and try to call us. Like you said, if the gods are taking sides and we're getting weird static on the phone, that doesn't really seem like a I love how smart Jack is. I love writing him. He's so much fun because I'm going to go get my supply. He's definitely the example of like a of the way that people, like my sister, one of my sisters is a great example. She's very neurospicy.
Yes.
But she's so smart. And she will get distracted by the silliest things and then just like fire off knowledge. And you're like, how, what? How, when did you get to that point? Like we were talking about something else. And I love that about Jack, because Jack is constantly thinking and overthinking and rethinking. And then suddenly it clicks.
Yep. It's the thing that he's been spinning on for the last 4 days. You just haven't realized.
Yeah.
That.
Jazz does that too.
Yeah, Jazz does.
My nephew. Oh, hitting right on it there.
Yup.
I do love that this is the moment where Alicia starts to become self-aware that what she's feeling for Mac
is more than just
I'm helping this god out, and I think, you know, he's kind of a cool guy and I want to be friends with him.
He has a very magnetic personality that is highly attractive.
Yes. That's a very nice way of putting it.
Particularly to her.
To her.
Spaceship.
Yes. Sorry. I was sharing my Lego. There's no spaceships in this scene. No, but there are hellhounds, because this is the scene. Like, oh, man. I had been waiting to write this scene pretty much since we knew.
Since we knew what we were going to do.
That we were going to have Audon take an actual front seat. And I love getting to write this scene. So one of the fun things about Celtic mythology is because there's so many different sources of it, there are, you know, it's kind of a modern talk about Celtic mythos is like a conglomeration. You're looking at Welsh, you're looking at Gaelic, you're looking at, you know, Gaulish, you're looking at all sorts of things. And I love that Audon is one of the classic examples of a myth of, so he might have been a king, he might have been a mythical figurehead king, much like we think Arthur was, and he was a king turned into something much bigger.
Yeah.
And so unlike Winnipneath, who is always like a fey creature and sort of like a otherworldly spirit, Audon is always called the king and the lord of Anun.
Yeah.
And that he is sort of like one of the realm, like one of the gods of death.
Yep.
And I loved getting to kind of manifest that as he lives in an old castle, like a classic fortress or like medieval castle almost, even though he's much more ancient. And it was a lot of fun to write that in this scene. Like you can kind of feel the vibe of like an old castle with torches going and like musty hallways. And I also love that earlier in that scene, you could tell that Mac is aware he can leverage his power here, his actual divine authority, but it comes at a cost.
Yeah. Because
this really is Audon's realm. He's pissed, though.
He should be.
Yeah. And I gotta give all the props to Adam. We gave him a really tough ask here because, you know, he gets to play Mac very comical and very light and fun all the time. And I was like, I need you to channel some, like, strike the fear of God into people here. And he does it so well without losing the thing that you know makes him Mac. And I love that.
Also, knowing what happens in the last episode, oh my God, this scene is so important.
Yes, it is. Yeah, this is... Feel free to armchair philosophize and theorize on this scene, guys, because this is really
important. This is a really important scene.
It's incredibly important. It's that whole thing of knowing... Mac figuring out his game here is the thing that will carry forward the next 5 episodes, even if you, the audience, don't realize that's what Mac's doing.
Yeah.
Yes, the Pax Arturus. Never mind. Never the dream of the AOC. We not AOC as in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But the Aishi. Cuz there and I feel bad, so there's like a million pronunciations of it.
Yeah, Aishi.
But Aishi is sort of like the one that like AOC and Aishi are the two that I hear the most. And I love the idea that Dante sort of like played with pronunciation and stuff because it's almost like Aron doesn't really give a crap about what other people say. He's just like, I'm going to say it the way I want to say it just to piss you off. Yes. I also love that we got to call Mac that. So that's one of the things that people don't think about. So traditionally in Celtic mythology, Manon MacLir, who happens to be one of the few gods that's never really lost his following, there are actual like temples and lighthouses dedicated to him today still in the UK. He is older than most of the gods that Jaina and Sam call upon.
Yep.
And he's older than just about all the gods that you saw in convention.
Yes.
Which, again, convention was a lot of fun to write because we really wanted to kind of give you guys like a deep dive into how we build the lore of how gods work in this universe. And it really puts a lot of this into perspective and a lot of what's coming into perspective. On both sides of the globe, actually. Like, it's very important to the story with Tunanu and with what the spirits of revolution are dealing with. So, God, Dante, he just chews scenery. It's
he
so
really
good.
Does. It's so good.
So good. And there it is. That's what Mac figures out.
Yep.
Ah, the first time he uses God voice in the whole show.
Yep.
And look, goosebumps.
Goosebumps back again.
Damn it, Adam.
Dang it. It's so good, though.
Damn it, Adam. Yeah, this right here. Yeah. Like, he's so good. I mean, if you start an act of aggression, no one wins like this.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, I wonder does that have some sort of like larger real world analogy we could possibly make about large deterrent powers that are too powerful
that go into other people's yards and kick their shit around.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's almost like the show is super political.
I know. I mean, all art is political, but we make no bones about the fact that it's political. I love that he keeps calling him old man. Stay away from my chosen places,
or so help me. I will bring the put the thing back where it came from, or so help me. And when we're
done, like, I don't even want to talk.
He is so menacing.
It's so
good.
May be the Lord
of dead humans. Oh my God. Which force do you think is stronger in the end?
Pray you never find out. Oh my God, that line right there.
So good.
Like, I feel like I need a cigarette. Like, I don't smoke anymore, but I feel like...
You feel like after that...
Like, let's just say he got my adrenaline going. Like, he's so good in that moment.
You were kind of the same way. You're like, I need to walk away for a minute.
I was like, I need a minute, guys. Boy.
I like this musical cue.
This is a fun cue. I like it. I need to use it. There are a lot of good tune peddler stuff like that where it's like a 30 second stinger, and I love them. All right, so after that, very exciting end of that episode where Adam makes my entire body go jelly from intensity. Dude, he's so good. Here we are. It's the end of episode 19. Next episode, we'll be back in the U.S., and we will see what happens over there. It's going to be very exciting. I'm very excited
for
everyone
to hear that.
Very
excited to go back over there.
Yeah, some really cool stuff
happening.
Oh,
my God. Okay, y'all. But we know what happens in the end now because everything is written now.
Yeah, it's been out to sit out the cast and everything.
Oh, my God, y'all.
You're not ready.
Your faces are not ready. You guys, do not miss an episode. We're in the final countdown.
Yeah, please, make sure you're here. This is the back half. There is no more after episode 24, so power through.
Last five.
I hope you like some longer episodes, because you know how I roll. The longer we
and
get,
if you did
the more
like
good.
This, come tell us about
yes.
it on Discord
or threads. I'm not really on threads as much, but yeah, Discord for sure.
Discord,
the Facebook page.
Facebook. That's
if,
gonna be
yeah,
the best way.
The best way is to let us know that you like it on the Facebook page, share and like it, and tell everybody about it. Yeah, find Pendant Audio on Facebook. That's like my favorite place to talk to people. So
yep.
we will talk to you
next
month. Bye.